This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 96.
This podcast is brought to you by Drury Hotels, our official hotel sponsor. By staying with Drury, you can help support the MTA podcast as well as get a special discount. Plus, every guest that we refer gets a free copy of our vintage podcast episodes and companion ebook. For more details about this, visit our website, marathontrainingacademy.com, and look for the Drury Hotels link. Welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast, where it's all about helping you run a marathon and change your life. I'm Trevor.
And this is Angie.
In this episode, we recap the Rocket City Marathon in Huntsville, Alabama. Plus, we talk about the difference between finishing strong and barely finishing. And in this episode's quick tip, Angie answers a listener question about running in cold and rainy conditions. And to get ready for your 2014 marathon or half marathon, find out how to join the Academy and train with us by visiting our website, marathontrainingacademy.com. Well, at the time of this recording, we ran Rocket City Marathon 3 days ago, so it's still pretty fresh on our minds. I could actually still feel the soreness in my legs. And Christmas is how many days away?
I don't even want to know. Too soon.
Too much to do before then.
I have been very bad. I don't have one single present for our kids yet. But I do have stuff coming, thanks to Amazon Prime, from shopping in my living room.
It is fun to, you get an idea for something, pops in your head, you can get on the computer, order it, and bang, it's there in a couple days at your doorstep. It'll all come together, and we're going to have a very Merry Christmas. In fact, we're going to be traveling out to Pennsylvania on Christmas Eve day and spending about a week or so out there with your family. So,
yes, I'm excited. I'd like to welcome some new members to the Academy. We've got Shira from Connecticut, Sakina from New York, Jordan from North Carolina, Megan from Oregon, Lauren from Pennsylvania, and Kevin, who is also from Pennsylvania. So it's great to have you in the Academy, and I look forward to helping you with your marathon training. Well, there's not a ton of races that are run in the month of December, but we do have some people in the Academy who've been doing various Christmas runs and some holiday halves, and Kirk got third place in his age group at the holiday half in Pomona, California, with a time of 1:33. And Sakina had a 4-minute PR at the holiday half in New York, despite the cold and blowing snow, so I was very proud of her. And then I heard from Johari. She says, Angie, I have a new 5-mile PR of 34:35. Just wanted to say thanks for all the awesome training.
And like always, we like to read a couple emails that Angie has received, and it's always fun to hear about people's progress and try to spread the inspiration around to everybody.
That's right. Actually, this first note comes from Vivian on Facebook, and she's a member of the Academy. She says, I got in 18 miles yesterday. My goal was 16, but close to the end of my run, at about mile 14, I saw a young soldier struggling to run with full gear on. He would run 5 steps and then start walking. It turns out he was training on his own for the Special Forces. His name was Stephen, which is my husband and oldest son's name as well. We were running along the Potomac River on the George Washington Trail, so we started talking, and I ran more and stronger at the end because of him. At first, you could tell he thought it was odd when I turned around and ran back to ask him if I could run with him. He was 24 and probably was thinking, oh no, what does this old lady want? But at the end, he gave me a big thank you because I helped get him through the end of his run. That was pretty cool for me, too. I finished strong. Still working my way back and loving to run. It just never gets old for me.
Wow, that is a great story.
Yeah, you just never know who you're going to run into on your run. No pun intended there. And, you know, don't be afraid to encourage another runner out there. This next message comes from Russ. He says, Hi, Angie. I just wanted to say thanks for your Thanksgiving episode. It's always nice to hear about other runners who are excited about the progress they're making and the life changes that running has brought to them and improved their enjoyment of life. Your emails and each podcast are refreshing and remind me of how much fun our sport can be. I'm a more seasoned runner with 9 marathons down and many more to come, including a 50K in January, but I really enjoy your podcast for training tip reminders and the fun and stories that you and Trevor share. Thanks for your support of the running community. And again, that comes from Russ in Southern New England.
Well, thank you for that nice, encouraging email, Russ. And I'm glad you enjoy this segment of the podcast, because we really enjoy getting emails from people. And sometimes people write in and they're new to marathon trainings. Sometimes people have been running for years, but there's always room for improvement. And we're always learning new things along the way, so it's good to share those things.
Definitely. This last note comes from Amanda, and she says, "Hi, Angie and Trevor. I just listened to your most recent podcast, and as always, I learned some valuable tools to help me get down the road a little bit stronger than before. I just wanted to tell you that my two girlfriends and I recently were set to run the St. Jude's Half. We were 20 miles from Memphis when we received the text alert saying it had been canceled. Of course, we were disappointed, but we understood the decision. In your podcast, Trevor asked about a refund, and I just wanted to take a moment to brag on the fact that we were offered a refund by St. Jude or an entry fee into a couple of other events. I'd never heard of that before, but I was glad to have that option. I opted to donate it to St. Jude's, but I thought it was great to get to choose. I know a lot of people were disappointed, but the way I feel is that we are so blessed to have the physical ability to run, and having our event canceled does not compare to what many families are going through at St. Jude's. Non-running friends always tell me I'm crazy for running like I do, but in my mind, I'm going to run for as long as I can for no other reason than because I can. I got up the next morning and ran my half. It was just at home rather than Memphis, but it still felt amazing to be able to do that. Although I won't receive my medal, I'm comforted to know a patient will. Thanks to St. Jude, and thanks for all you do." And that's Amanda in Mississippi.
Well, as many of you probably know, St. Jude's is a children's hospital in Memphis. They specialize in cancer treatment, and from what I've heard, it's all free for families who have their children there. So it's quite an amazing institution. And there's many, many marathons that we've been to where we've seen people sporting their St. Jude's shirts and hats. So it's a pretty popular marathon.
In fact, at the Rocket City Marathon, I saw many people wearing their St. Jude shirt. And, you know, because the race got canceled, I think some of them tried to find another marathon to do. So they were down in Rocket City.
So it sounds like some people are able to defer their registration to other races.
It sounds like they offered a choice to run a different St. Jude race. They have different ones throughout the year. I don't know if they necessarily allowed deferral to the next year.
We don't know, folks, but I do know there was a runner down in Huntsville who saw my shirt that I was wearing. I was wearing the New Orleans Rock and Roll Marathon shirt. I usually run every race in that one. And he told me that his St. Jude's registration was going to be deferred down to there, and he's going to run that coming up in February.
Okay, great.
Well, thank you for sending in that message. It's a good bookend to our last episode. And now we're going to go ahead and get into our full race recap of the Rocket City Marathon in Huntsville, Alabama. First marathon that Angie's run in Alabama. Have you ever been to Alabama previously?
Yes, I have.
Okay. It's a great state, and we had fun going down there. We're going to tell you all about it right now. Well, we can't call Alabama our sweet home, but we felt at home down there. They're very hospitable at the Rocket City Marathon, and we had a wonderful time. The race was a lot of fun. Angie ran a good marathon. Me, not so much. So we're going to tell you about the gory details of my marathon and how it went. First, though, we're going to talk about the city of Huntsville a little bit and the Race Expo. And Angie, take it away.
Well, we were privileged to be able to run the 37th annual Rocket City Marathon. The first year they put it on was 1977.
Oh, I remember those days. Good old days.
And the marathon is put on by the Huntsville Track Club. Now, the city of Huntsville is located in the more the north-central part of Alabama, and it was only around a 5.5-hour drive for us.
Yep.
So definitely very doable. You know, go down there one day and come back the next kind of thing. And the city has around 180,000 residents, so it's a nice size, offers a lot, and seems to be a really nice city. It's actually the home of NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center.
And the Space Camp.
And Space Camp, and the U.S. Army Aviation and Missile Command. So definitely a military presence and an engineering focus as well.
Hence the name Rocket City Marathon.
That's right. Now, I heard that the Space Museum was really good. We didn't take time to go see it. But definitely if you have time and you're down there, that would be something really interesting to do. So this race is geared toward marathoners, and it doesn't offer any other races.
Which Except is a children's race, children's marathon.
A children's marathon, where the children will run miles previously, and then will finish up like the last 1.2 miles on the day of the marathon.
But there's no half marathon.
Right, or 10K or anything. So I didn't really figure that out until like halfway through the race. I'm like, hey, I wonder where the half marathon course splits off. Ding, ding, ding. There was no half marathon course. It's a pretty reasonable marathon, too. The entry fee is around $60, and you get some good swag and support along the course, so that's nice.
So a little frame of reference, if you sign up for a rock and roll marathon with the competitor group, it runs about, what, $120? And then the New York City marathon registration, how much is that?
Ooh, that's got to be around $270. I don't know the exact price, but $250, $270.
So $60 is on the lower end. What's the least expensive registration that we've ever paid? Probably like 40?
Yeah, maybe 40 to 50.
But since runners are rich, these registrations are no problem.
Yeah, I'm sure no one feels richer on the holiday season.
Well, let's talk about the Race Expo. Everything was at the Holiday Inn downtown, a nice old hotel, which I heard that the Holiday Inn is going out of business there in that location, and they're going to do something else with that space. So this was the very last year that the Holiday Inn downtown served as the race headquarters.
The expo was actually held in a ballroom of the Holiday Inn.
We had a ball.
So it was fairly small. You know, there were some vendors and your packet pickup, which was really easy. And the people were really friendly and helpful. So we got our race packets and we browsed around for a while. And then we went to find something to eat because clearly it is high on our priority list.
So we found a nice little German restaurant, and that was, I think, the first time I'd ever been to a German restaurant. It was quite good.
Yeah, it was very good.
And then to cap off the evening, we went to see the second Hobbit movie, and we did not have any movie theater popcorn.
Even though it smelled really good. I'm like a popcorn junkie. I could eat popcorn every day, but since we're trying to stay away from grains, we have been limiting our popcorn. And plus the butter or oils they use in the popcorn caused me to break out really bad. I'm allergic to a lot of vegetable oils. I knew I'd be like one big rash the next day if I had it.
That wouldn't be any fun.
So yes. But we enjoyed the movie a lot, even though we did not eat anything. Just sipped the water we'd smuggled in.
Angie really got into it. I mean, she brought like her hobbit cape and her
my elf ears.
She really gets into it.
Right. Okay. There was one guy in a cape there.
Angie wouldn't be caught dead doing that, actually.
So since we didn't have the kids with us, we took the chance to go see the movie and make it a fairly relaxing short trip down there.
I felt like the race did a lot of things well. They were very welcoming, and when we got to our hotel at check-in, they gave us a little bag with some water and some snacks. And the hotels that the marathon works with have late checkouts and shuttles and breakfast early in the morning for the runners if they want it. So a lot of attention was paid to making this event a lot of fun. Bart Yasso of Runner's World was there as a featured speaker at the pasta dinner, which we did not go to. We did see Bart at the finish line. Didn't get to talk to him, but he's a cool guy. So let's talk about our pre-race preparation, Angie. The night before, when we're setting out all our stuff, you made a tragic discovery. She forgot her running shoes. No. Not that tragic.
Well, almost as tragic. I went to plug in my Garmin to charge it, and I broke the charger. Like, it's kind of like a little alligator clip that you clip on there.
Yep.
One side, like, totally fell off. I mean, maybe they wear out after a while. I don't know. I've had this thing for over 3 years.
Yeah, they just
But, you know, that's
out.
Not really what you want to happen right before a race. So Trevor helped me rig up something where we stuck one half of the charger to the watch and put his boot on top of it to try to press it down. I didn't really have high hopes that it was going to charge, but it actually did. So if we'd had duct tape, that would have solved the problem entirely. But runners are resourceful. We've got good oxygen flow to our brains. We can think of these ideas.
You can get through a race no problem without a running watch.
Yeah, I just had brought my heart rate monitor, and I was wanting to monitor my heart rate throughout the race.
Right.
And that was going to be out the window if I didn't have a watch. So.
Well, the thing that was worrying me the most was the weather, because before we left Missouri to go down there, there was a 100% chance of rain in Huntsville on the day of the marathon.
So. And colder temperatures. So, yeah, the thought of running a marathon in the cold and rain was not highly appealing.
Not at all.
The nice thing is that the marathon started at 8 a.m. So, you know, we didn't have to get up at the crack of dawn. Well,
right.
We sort of did. But we didn't have to get up in the middle of the night. Let's just put it that way. By the time the race got started, the rain pretty much had tapered off. There was still a little bit of sprinkling going on, and the humidity stayed about 100%, but, you know, it wasn't the downpour, the cold, wet deluge that we were anticipating, so that was kind of nice. And actually, the runners who were waiting for the race start were able to congregate in the Holiday Inn, which was right by the starting line. So that was very nice. You could stay out of the weather and stay warm. Because I think that's the worst part of a race, especially if it's cold or rainy, is just standing there. You know, you're not doing anything to stay warm, and you're feeling miserable, and your shoes are getting wet. And so it was nice that we could stand in the Holiday Inn and use the bathrooms. And
yep, definitely.
And parking wasn't too bad either. We were able to park fairly close for free. So that was another nice feature about the starting area.
Well, how many people were there, do you think?
There was around 1,400 runners, I believe. And I guess 1,800 had registered for the marathon, but apparently, you know, for whatever reason, maybe the cold weather, a few decided not to do it. So there were pace groups for this marathon, but there weren't any starting corrals. So you kind of just lined up by the pacers that you thought you could hang with during the race. And the race director gave some announcements, and the mayor, Tommy Battle, gave a brief greeting. The national anthem was sung, and then the starting gun went off. So at first, the streets were pretty wet and a little slick. In fact, one woman fell shortly into the race, which is always unfortunate to see.
Yeah, there was a lady running right by us, and she took a fall. I always hate to see that.
But she finished actually fairly near me later on, but she was telling some other runner that she was hoping to go sub 4 hours, but you know, didn't really want to push too hard since her ankle was feeling sore after the fall and stuff, but that was a bummer. So it kind of made me check my footing more carefully after that.
Yeah, me too.
So during the first couple of miles, the race wound through the downtown and historic areas, and then it went through some neighborhoods pretty much the rest of the race. And there were some small hills throughout the course, but really only about 410 feet of total elevation gain. So it was like the hills took a little extra effort to get up, but it wasn't like you were thinking, I've got to walk this, this is horrible, at least in my opinion. You know, on a positive note, the support was really good. The aid stations were about every 2.5 miles, and I thought there was plenty of room to run, you know, on the streets. It wasn't like it was too narrow. There was one section where we went through a tunnel and kind of a park area, so it narrowed out then, but the rest of the time, there's plenty of room to run.
Yep.
Intersections were controlled by volunteers or the police. So yeah, it was a good course. There were a few spots with good amount of spectators, and actually the race designated some cheer zones where they had like a little heated tent and, you know, try to encourage spectators to come out. And, you know, some neighborhoods would come out and hand out candy or fruit to the runners and have their little impromptu aid stations.
So what is up with people handing out candy, Jolly Ranchers and other candy, saying, I've got sugar here for you, take your sugar? Why do we need sugar? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, Gatorade is sugar. So, you know, most people think that you have to have carbohydrates to run a marathon. And so candy is a simple sugar. And if you've trained with that kind of thing, Gatorade, simple sugar, you know, there's not much difference between Gatorade and a Jolly Rancher, I guess, by the time you melt it all down. Actually, candy, I always avoid it even back in the days when I was eating a lot of sugar because it's more concentrated sweetness. I always thought maybe it could mess with my stomach or something. So it's just sometimes people like to have something to suck on and
that's true.
Get a bad taste out of their mouth or something. There were also several photographers that were out in the course. And they had people strategically placed every, I think it was about 5K, calling out the official time.
Yeah, that's something I had not seen before, is volunteers who were given the assignment of standing there calling out the official time all day.
1:49:35, 1:49:37, 1:49:39. It was like, wow, that would...
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a challenging job to talk that much. So I was wearing my heart rate monitor during this race, and I was trying to keep my pace below my lactate threshold. But for some reason, the early part of the race felt like a lot of effort, like my heart was working really hard. So I tried to keep my pace down. I don't know if it was due to the humidity or what, but it just felt like the first half of the race, breathing was more labored than I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. My legs felt really strong. So, you know, I tried to pace myself appropriately. And you and I ran together until around mile 14. Sometimes you were ahead of me. I was like, oh, I'm going to lose him. And we were kind of following the 410 group, but around the halfway point, we got ahead of them. So that always felt good, you know.
Yes.
Start chasing down a different group. And like I said, we got separated about mile 14. I don't know if you stopped to use the bathroom or what. So I just kind of kept going on, and I started feeling better about mile 16, actually. And by the time I got to mile 20, I was feeling really oddly good. you know, just mentally strong, physically strong. So I decided to make a game to see how many people I could pass in the last 6.2 miles. And I would give myself 1 point for every person I passed, and then I would subtract a point for every person who passed me. And it really worked well. I didn't think about the miles or, you know, thinking like, ugh, got so many miles to go or whatever. I was able to just kind of pick people off and let out my inner lion, stalking, struggling wildebeest. I don't
know. She gamified her marathon.
Yeah.
So how many points did you collect?
113.
So you passed 113 people minus the people who passed you.
Right, exactly.
It's a good game.
Yeah, it worked really well. So if you're feeling like you're struggling and focusing too much on the miles, maybe try something like that. And as you came into the finishing chute area, you ran under this huge American flag. I thought that was really neat. And then there was spectators lining the streets, and they actually announced your name and your hometown. And then Bart Yasso was right at the finishing line, so I went over and shook his hand. The overall male winner for the marathon was Josh Whitehead, who was fairly local, Madison, Alabama, and he finished in 2:27. And the female winner was Justine Moody, and she was originally from Poland, I guess going to college in Georgia. And she finished in 2:46. And I came in 550th. Thank you very much. The time of 4 hours, 7 minutes, and 7 seconds.
Congratulations.
Well, I don't know. I was hoping to go sub-4, to be honest. So I was a little bit disappointed. But when I look at it, I can never be disappointed with another marathon finish. And got a new state under my belt. And it was my 9th marathon for the year. So
that's, and how many overall?
21.
21 overall. Wow.
So that was pretty awesome. So as I'm happily finishing, you are experiencing a whole different ball game. Kind of talk us through what happened after we separated.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I felt pretty strong up until probably mile 15 when things just started to go bad. So I want to talk about this for a second. And I finished an hour slower than my marathon in February.
You came in 1,040th place in a time of 4 hours and 53 minutes and 23 seconds.
Yeah. So right under 5 hours. You were like 500 people ahead of me.
Well, you had told me that you thought you had like a 4:30 in you.
Yeah.
So when I finished, I was like, I'm just going to stick around the finishing line and see him come in. He'll be really excited to see me, you know, whatever, blah, blah. So I got my, you know, space blanket and my drink, and I was standing there. And it was really fun to watch people finish. Mm-hmm. Just really interesting. Like, some people are just, like, look destroyed. Like, they could care less they crossed the finish line.
How did I look?
You were in the destroyed category. Some people were just, like, jubilant, you know, like, skipped across. Just so many emotions. Anyway, I really enjoyed watching people come across. But 4:30 came and went, and you weren't there. And 4:40 came. I was like, this is weird. 4:50 came. I was like, I hope you didn't have like a medical emergency or something.
Yeah.
Finally, when you came across in 4:53, I knew something had happened to derail you. And I thought maybe it was your Achilles, because you had been complaining that your boots had rubbed a spot on the back of your Achilles. So I thought, oh, he probably was limping around with that. But
that was one of the problems.
That was one of the minor problems. What was the major problem?
I started getting really nauseous.
Ooh.
And I felt like I was right on the edge of wanting to throw up. I was using Generation UCAN Superstarch for my fueling source. And this is the first marathon I've ran using that fuel. Now, I did practice with it. I did do a 20-miler with it. I probably wasn't as practiced with that particular fuel as I should be. I was using the lemon flavored. After about mile 14, I had a little bit of it left. I was taking sips of it previously about every mile, a small sip. But after about mile 14, I just could not even fathom taking another sip. It made my stomach turn. I had to keep holding the bottle. I didn't bring a disposable bottle, so I still had the same bottle with the UCAN in it, and it troubled me to even look at it. You know, just I couldn't think of anything more disgusting. In fact, I wouldn't feel like eating anything. I was thinking thoughts like, am I even going to want to eat again today?
Yeah, when you're so nauseous, you just, the thought of food is like the most despicable thing in the world.
Right. And then I started going anaerobic in my legs, and it began to be harder and harder just to keep moving forward. And my mind started dwelling on all that, you know, negativity. And the 4:10 people passed me, and the 4:30 people, and I mean, I was taking longer walk breaks.
Did you stop at any porta-pots?
I stopped twice at porta-pot. And at one point, a lady came up, and she was talking to me, and she said, well, just finish this together. And like right as she said that, I felt like I felt like the runner's trots were coming on. So here I am trying to talk and run and hold back the runner's trots. So I just had to stop and be like, go on.
Don't wait for me.
That was a false alarm. But that's just how it went. And the last 3 miles were really hard. I think it took me like 40 minutes to finish the last 3 miles.
Mm-hmm. So you did a lot of walking. Didn't you say you sat down at a couple points?
Well, I sat down and tied my shoes and really enjoyed it.
5 minute shoe tie?
It wasn't that the course was hard or the weather was hot. You know, it was a relatively flat course. It was a great day for a run. Sun was hidden behind the clouds. But what I think is that I wasn't as trained up as I needed to be. I did miss some training runs and didn't follow your plan as strictly as I needed to, because Angie made me a training schedule for this race, and I probably only did about 70% of the total mileage that I needed to. So I was undertrained. The fueling didn't work for me that day. I think I might have had some kind of bug in me.
When we got home, we found out that our middle son was sick.
Right.
So it could have been part
sickness
of it.
Sickness has been going around through some people at work. I didn't know I had something, but after I crossed the finish line, finally, you know, made my appearance.
You were looking so pasty. I was thinking, what, you know, what is wrong?
And it took all I had to get through. And I'm so glad that I finished, and I don't take the experience back. It's taught me a lot. You know, you really have to respect the marathon. Even though this has been my fifth one, you can't get cocky. You know, you gotta put in the right training and try to be as healthy as you can on race day. But after I eventually made it through the finishing area, had my medal around my neck, Angie was there to meet me, and I appreciate your understanding and your sympathy. You know, she was concerned, and she went to go get some food. They had some soup.
They had really good food, actually,
yeah,
at the finishing line. And I was liberally enjoying it, probably eating, making you sick by eating in front of you.
I took a couple sips of the soup, and then we started making our way to the car, and I quickly found a bush and threw up everything in my stomach.
Yeah, all of a sudden you weren't there beside me, and I hear this retching sound from the bushes. People are passing, and I'm like, oh, dear.
It made me think of my marathon in February in New Orleans. I've actually finished sub-4 marathon. It was a great, great time for me. And at the very end, right before the finish line, there was this lady keeled over, throwing up. And I actually had thoughts that could have been me, you know, right there in front of everybody. But
yeah, you managed to hold it together until you were mostly out of sight.
I might have been drinking too much water, too, because there was a lot of liquid in my stomach.
Yeah, I think you were probably, because you had a water bottle with you as well that you were drinking on steadily.
You know, I've heard you talk about drinking to thirst, and I was probably going beyond that and just drinking because my mouth felt dry, or because I had a bad taste in my mouth, or simply because
you had it there.
I had it, yeah.
Yeah, and especially on a cool day, you know, you're really not expending that much fluid.
So what does it mean to drink to thirst?
It means if you feel thirsty, drink, but not large, excessive amounts.
Don't drink until you feel thirsty, legitimately thirsty.
Right, and it depends on the weather as well, because if you're expending a lot of fluids, but there's actually more of a danger of overhydration in marathons and ultra-distance events than there is dehydration. There have been many people who have died of exercise-induced overhydration, so I don't think you were definitely near that point. Usually your body will start rejecting the fluid if you get too much, if you kind of get that sloshy feeling in your stomach. You know, your body will try to induce vomiting or even sometimes make you pass out. But, you know, it is important not just to guzzle fluids obsessively during a race, thinking that you're going to get dehydrated if you don't. You have to learn to listen to your body, really.
So this is almost like two opposite scenarios, the way I finished and the way you did. You feel great today. I still feel a little stiff. You've been going out and running, like you ran 5 this morning, and you said you felt like you had plenty of energy after you crossed the finish line, right?
Yeah, I did. I was like, the last 6 miles, thinking I should have pushed harder in the first part of the race. You know, I really felt like I had a ton of reserves left over. And yeah, I haven't had any soreness. I don't feel like I ran a marathon at all, which is weird.
That's nice.
Actually, the only thing that hurt after the race, really, was my neck, for some reason, was sore. So that was kind of interesting. So I don't know. I use the UCAN superstarch. I use the formula with the protein in it, actually, and it's the chocolate flavored. And it worked really well. I don't know if it was the protein that helped my recovery or just the fact that I started conservatively and, you know, paced well or what, but
Well, how did you feel like your training went prior to this?
Really good. I mean, I haven't been seeing the speed that I want necessarily, but I've been doing zone training for my easy days, trying to keep my heart rate down. You know, my long runs were all solid and, you know, did speed work and stuff like that. So, yeah, I would say my training went pretty ideally. And, of course, I had 3 months off since the last marathon as well. That might have helped.
And my training has been hit and miss. So, as you can see, folks, you know which example you want to follow.
Well, I'm sure it'll spur you to train better for Myrtle Beach, right?
It's going to spur me to transfer my registration to the half marathon.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't really feel like the race starts till about halfway. Actually, I've heard it said that a marathon doesn't really start till mile 20.
Right.
So, you know, you may feel great the first few miles, but, you know, remember mile 20 is coming and make sure you're prepared for that.
So I guess something that you could take away from this as a listener is some races that you might do are not going to work out so well. And you might have high expectations going in, but you could, you know, slip and fall like that one lady did during the first mile that we saw. Or you could have something in your system that is aggravated and gets stirred up within you and causes you to just become a mess on the course. So just, it's fun to laugh about and to share my story with you. And I'm still glad that I gutted it out.
Yeah, I think you have to go into a marathon with some humility. I mean, it could happen to any of us.
Yeah.
Your training can go great. You can be feeling really strong. And no matter if it's your first marathon or your 100th marathon, you can still have things that go wrong. So don't beat yourself up over it. Just do the best you can. If you have dizziness, if you ever have chest pain while you're running a race, if you ever, you know, have vomiting or diarrhea that keeps going, then, you know, those are all legitimate reasons even to not finish a race. You definitely need to seek medical help.
Yeah, definitely.
For things like that. So don't try to be a hero and get it out all the time.
I never had the feeling that I needed medical help. I did see one lady who was sitting on the side waiting for medical help, and I'm not sure what her issue was, but I knew that what I was feeling wasn't related to my heart or anything. It was just more of this nauseated feeling in my stomach. And it was something that I could keep going with. But yeah, we're not saying that if you feel like crap that you should always just finish your marathon, and that you lack integrity if you don't. You always got to be, you know, wise and safe about it.
Exactly. Some days you just have to live to run another day. Exactly. Always be another marathon or another race. So
yep.
Make sure that you take good care of your body and don't push yourself foolishly.
So I guess to summarize our race recap, what did you feel about the Rocket City Marathon overall?
I thought it was really good. I thought the course support, the overall organization was good. Good race communication beforehand. They sent out emails. The finish line, they had people who, you know, put a space blanket around your shoulders and walked you to get your medal and made eye contact with you to make sure that you weren't going to pass out. And
I thought they were just doing that for me because I look so ill.
No, they kept doing it to me. I'm like, why is this person still hanging on to me? I'm fine. You know? But it was really nice because you never know when people are going to keel over. And they had really nice gender-specific neon yellow race shirts, mm-hmm. and a black logo hat for finishers, and then a large rocket-themed medal. And the post-race food was great, too, I thought. They had, you know, your usual sports drinks, but they had chocolate milk and bananas and grapes.
None of it sounded good to me.
Moon pies, ice cream sandwiches, bagels, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and then the best thing was the hot vegetable soup. That was really good because I was getting really cold. I'd stood at the finish line for, like, you know, over 30 minutes in my wet stuff, and I was shivering and freezing. In fact, when we were walking back to the car, you were doing your vomiting episode. You finally said, just go get the car and bring it around, you know. By the time I got to the car, my teeth were, like, knocking together. I was, like, shivering so uncontrollably. But, yeah, it's a great marathon, and I would encourage you to go down there and do it one of these years.
And if you do, I hope your race goes more like Angie's than like mine.
For sure.
Well, now it's time for this episode's quick tip. We've got a message on Facebook asking about running in cold and rainy conditions.
Yeah, Tom says, I saw that the weather for the Rocket City Marathon was cold and rainy. I've never run a marathon in wet and cold weather. How do you prepare differently for these conditions? Do you treat it the same as if it were just very cold? And that's really a good question. And it is hard to know how to dress. So if you're going to a race where it looks like there's going to be rain in the forecast or colder temperatures, bring a couple of options to wear. If the weather turns out a little bit warmer, you may want your shorts or, you know, you may want pants. Just give yourself some options. It's also important to remember to dress as if it's 20 degrees warmer. You should be cool for the first mile or two and then warm up nicely once you start running. And you also, when you're looking at the temperature, you need to consider the wind chill too, because that can really cool things down in a hurry. So I encourage people to wear warm wicking socks. Make sure you're not wearing any cotton socks. You want things that are going to breathe. Smart Wool is a really good sock for colder weather. Also, dress in well-fitting wicking layers. You don't want loose clothing that's going to absorb moisture. Also, consider a base layer, whether it's a long-sleeve shirt or wearing a short-sleeve shirt with arm warmers, and then an outer rain-resistant jacket. Now, some people will just use a trash bag until the race starts or for the first couple of miles if it's supposed to be cooler or rainy to keep the rain off. We saw one guy actually had plastic bags in his shoes over his socks, which I think would be, you know, a good way to keep your socks dry for a shorter run. But I imagine the plastic trapped the moisture in his shoes, and he was making this, like, shh, 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 sound, you know, for like 26 miles. That would get really annoying, I think.
It seemed to me that there was a lot of people who were overdressed.
Well, I think it's really funny because at a colder race, you're going to see guys who are shirtless in shorts. And then you're going to see people who have pretty much every inch of their skin covered by multiple layers. And so I guess it depends where you come from. If you typically run hot or cold, you know, how your body warms up, maybe your pace too, because if you're going to be doing walking, then you can cool down when you walk as opposed to when you're running constantly.
I guess it depends on if you're a cold-natured person or a warm-natured person.
Right, exactly.
My tendency is to want to overdress because I hate to be cold while I'm standing there for the race to start.
But that can be solved pretty easily by wearing like a throwaway shirt, a warm throwaway shirt. And then, you know, if you warm up, you can get rid of it. If you stay cool, you can keep it on. You can tie it around your waist. You know, there's a lot of different options there.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did. I had shorts, a t-shirt, and a long-sleeve throwaway shirt over it, and I was perfectly dressed. I threw away my longer sleeve shirt at about mile 3, and then just ran in my shorts and my t-shirt, and I was good to go. So that's one thing I did do right, is I didn't overdress.
Well, you were wearing compression socks too, which provides some coverage and warmth.
Yeah.
And we were kind of debating whether we should wear gloves or not. And
would have been a bad idea.
Yeah, I was wearing capri pants and a short sleeve shirt with arm warmers. So once I warmed up, I just pulled the arm warmers down and, you know, kind of ventilated more. I also recommend if it's going to be raining that you wear a brimmed hat or visor to keep the rain off your face. And if it's, you know, going to be really cold, you might want to consider some sort of ear protection as well. And then throw on some light knit gloves if the race is cold. I like getting them from the dollar store, and then you can just throw them away if you get too warm, or you can just kind of tuck them in your waistband or something if you think you might need them for later in the race. So the main thing is to know yourself, to know if you typically are hot or cold natured, and to, you know, dress in layers of wicking material.
And remember to plan as if it was 20 degrees warmer than it is.
Exactly.
There's some pretty nice articles of clothing discarded along the course.
I know. One of these days, if I ever spectate a marathon, I'm going to just be hanging out around mile 2 or 3 and just putting stuff in a bag. Actually, later on in the course, there were several really nice hats left along the ground.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my. Also, if the weather is cold and windy, you might want to consider putting something like Body Glide or Aquaphor on your lips and your cheeks to prevent windburn. I know I always like to put Aquaphor on my lips because they tend to get dry. And remember that as soon as you stop running, your body temperature is going to start dropping. So after the marathon, be sure to get out of your wet clothes quickly and then put something warm and dry on, even if you can't shower yet. Have something to change into. And then start sipping a warm beverage, and that'll help kind of warm you up from the inside, and you should be on your way to feeling good.
Okay, thank you, Tom, for that question. Hope that helps. And if you would like more information on running and marathon training, visit us at marathontrainingacademy.com. When you're there, you can read the blog post that goes along with this episode and see pictures from the Rocket City Marathon. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We want you to know you have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life.